Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is the official radio home of the Chicago Cubs. Listen to every game here on Sports Radio 670 The Score and the Odyssey app.
Opposite field home run, Seiya Suzuki.
Live from the Hyundai Studios. Presented to you by your local Hyundai dealers. We are WSCR in HD Chicago. WBMX HD2 Chicago. An Odyssey station. The Score!
Swing and a miss, strike three. Fooled him on a breaking ball. Thompson pitching very well. Let's see if the Cubs can grab the lead. We go to the bottom of the sixth. Game tied at two.
Quick. Runners get on. He's quick to the plate. He's got multiple weapons. Throwing strikes is key. He can fall behind and still come back, as you see in that last inning he threw in the eighth there. Just multiple weapons, and you know, he's been a starter and has a feel for working through the lineup a couple of times and also dealing with traffic. So there's a lot to like about him.
Cubs manager David Ross, a 4-2 win for the Cubs over Tampa at Wrigley Field last night. Cubs are now 6-4 on the season. They've won three of the four ball games that they have played on the north side so far in this young 2022 season. I'm Chris Ranji. This is Score Overnight. It's good to have you along in hour number four as we broadcast from the Score Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. The number, if you want to visit, 312-644-6767. That is the phone number that you can call or you can text us, however you want to reach us. You can also tweet at me, at Chris Ranji, if you like. More on Keegan Thompson in a moment, but this was another pretty fun ball game that the Cubs played. And let me start with Kyle Hendricks and what he did in the game. Now, we know he had that one lousy start, where he gave up the six runs, didn't make it out of the fifth inning. But this time around, 4 1/3, it's okay. It's not bad. He makes it into the fifth on a really cold and crappy night at the ballpark. And look, as much as people talk about how difficult it is for hitters to hit in the cold, it really is not easy for pitchers to pitch in the cold either. It's also difficult for them. You don't have a feel for the ball a lot of times. Your hands are freezing. It's just difficult to get a grip. Maybe the ball doesn't do what you want it to do. So it's difficult. So to give 4 1/3 and a couple of earned runs and six strikeouts, not bad. It's not great, but it's not bad. When you had McClanahan on the other side who went six and punched out nine Cubs hitters in the game last night. Fortunately for them, when Hendricks departed the game, Keegan Thompson came in and again was brilliant. And he's only had three outings so far this year. Each of his outings, the last two have gone into four innings. So he's gone 3 2/3, 3 1/3, and two innings back to his first opportunity of the season. He's pitched over nine innings this year, and he hasn't given up a single run. So he's really been fantastic. Just absolutely fantastic. And per the conversation we had with Gordon Wittenmeyer earlier in the show, there has to be a moment when the Cubs have to seriously ponder the idea of putting him into the rotation. I mean, I think they really have to think about that. You have to think about it with Smiley and Hendricks, and we're going to get a look at Stroman again, who started a couple of games so far this season. We're going to get another look at him, and Justin Steele has pitched okay, and Mark Leiter Jr. Getting a start so far in this young season. If Keegan Thompson continues to pitch like that, I don't know that your rotation at the back end is so good that he just doesn't have a place. There might be a point where you have to give him an opportunity to start a game, maybe start a couple, and see how it goes. You kind of probably just have to do that. We had a texter earlier when this conversation was going on who asked the question, well, isn't he more valuable in the role that he's in, where he's getting a couple of innings of work and maybe he's able to pitch three-ish innings, pitch into a fourth inning and do that every few days? Isn't he more valuable there? And I would say the answer is no. What's more valuable is, and this is provided he continues to pitch the way he has so far, if he keeps doing this, what's more valuable to the Cubs or any team is to get as many innings as possible out of that guy. So I know that sometimes we have this debate when it comes to how valuable a closer is. And, you know, a closer will have 70-plus appearances, so about 70 to 80 innings. And they can be absolutely dominant, but they're almost never as valuable as a starter. I mean, you can make the argument that somebody like Rivera, when you just couldn't get a hit off of him, was more valuable than a starter. But even then, it's a difficult argument to make because a starting pitcher who is doing really well affects double the amount of innings. And in the best starters' cases, they affect more than double that amount of innings. So they're affecting more games, and they're having a greater effect on how much a team wins. So the more innings you can get out of Keegan Thompson, if he continue, and again, he's not going to have a zero ERA all year, but if he continues to pitch the way he has been or close to it, I don't know that you can take away from him more innings. You might have to give him opportunities. And by the way, David Ross is going to be on with Lawrence Holmes at noon today. So that's his first appearance of the season. Going to be talking with Lawrence at 12 o'clock today. And I'm sure Lawrence is going to talk to him about Keegan and talk to him about the pitching staff and where it is. So Grandpa Rossi will be on the score at noon today with Lawrence Holmes. So I'm going to keep an eye out for that, as I know you are too, how the team ultimately treats him. Thompson, we're talking about here. Because if he is like this, if he is that effective, look, 3 2/3 innings, gave up a hit, walked a guy, punched out five. I don't know how you can deny him a rotation spot. If he does anything like that, you continue to stretch him out, see what you can get out of him. And if you can get him into a starting position, I think you have to go for it. I really do. His last time out, 3 1/3, three hits, no runs. And that was against Colorado in Colorado, a place where, you know, ball's lively there. And in his first start of the season, 2 2/3 of an inning, four strikeouts, zero hits. And he issued a walk. Look, small sample, three appearances on the year. We're not even 2 weeks into the season, but there's something to keep an eye on there with Keegan Thompson. And who knows, maybe, and before I get to that point, I believe Gordon made this point earlier on the show when he said, it's not like they're doing this against bad teams. It's not like Keegan Thompson is doing this against bad offensive teams. Colorado, they're going to be able to score runs, especially in their ballpark. Tampa Bay, same thing. Tough at bats. Tampa will always give tough at bats because everybody has a good approach on that team, historically speaking, over the last 15 years. And Milwaukee, which is, that lineup is in question, I guess. We don't really know what kind of offensive team they're going to have. They're going to pitch really well. We know that. But there's reason to believe, and good reason, I think, that by the end of the year, that team offensively not going to be great, but still a good team. At any rate, we're talking about Tampa Bay, Colorado, Milwaukee. This is what Keegan Thompson has done so far. This is a very early part of the year, very small sample size. But the point is, keep an eye on him. And if this continues, they're going to have to start thinking about moving him into the rotation or at least giving him an opportunity there. And I'm sure that's on their radar. How about Seiya Suzuki? And how much fun is this guy? Look, like I said a minute ago, I know we're not even 2 weeks into the major league season, but it is really hard not to enjoy that and what he's done. I don't know how you can watch these games and not think, man, that was an incredible pickup by the Cubs. 2 for 3 in the game yesterday, scored a couple of runs. His batting average so far is at .429. His OBP is at .564, and he's got a .929 slug. So that OPS is over 1,400 right now, almost 1,500. That's crazy. Now, again, I know we're not even 2 weeks into the season, but this is super impressive. And this is somebody who does have a history. Granted, it was overseas. Granted, it was in Japan. It wasn't here in the big leagues, but this is somebody that in many, many games, and he started playing professional baseball at 18. So we are not talking about somebody who is like 25 and he's done pretty well for a couple of years in Japan and now he's come over here. Nah, man, this guy's been good for about 6 years. And we're talking about what, like 4,000 plate appearances, and his OPS in the mid-900s over there. Now, if he gets here, and I mean, as he remains here, and if he continues to get the at-bats, if he gives the Cubs, and I said, you know, upper 800s OPS, which would be awesome. That's an amazing pickup if that's what the Cubs get from him. But if he's in the mid-800s for an OPS, or even the low 800s, that's still pretty darn good. That's still really good for them. And there is reason to be excited about him. There's reason to believe that he can continue to be really productive. He's not going to be 1,500 OPS productive, but he can be major league productive, like upper third, upper tier of the major leagues productive, at least. And he might very well be on the verge of doing that. So far, tremendous pickup by the Cubs. And looking forward to seeing more about what he can do. A sidebar here. This was a moment in the game last night in which he tried to take second base on a hit. And he was thrown out. And they go to replay because he was called out. The Cubs decided to take a look at it. They challenged the play. And for a split second, like a tenth of a second, he comes off the base and maybe the tag is on him. They talked about this on the television broadcast last night. And I've been trying to rack my brain and think about this all day since that happened. Maybe Sean Sears, I don't know if you remember this or not. I want to say it was 2017 or 2018. And it was late season or maybe Cubs postseason. And there was a play at first when a similar thing happened and the call went in the Cubs' favor. Like, you know, you got a guy who's leading off first base. He dives back in and like his hand comes off the bag for a split second. The tag's on him. Or whatever. Or,
yeah.
Hell, maybe this was even at second base.
I think I remember this. I think it was a play at second base that Javi just happened to, like, the throw, like, didn't quite beat them, but because the guy slid off the bag for half a second and because Javi held his glove on him, they got it out on a replay.
Okay, well, that was a playoff game, right?
I believe so. I think it was against either, I think it was the National Series.
You know what? I remember them playing a team wearing red. I think you're right. So I remember on Twitter, the Cubs were on the other side of this, and I argued that I hated it. I argued that I did not like that that's how replay has been used, that it really is supposed to be for the egregious stuff or the close calls, but not for guy beats the tag, or he beats the throw, he beats the tag, maybe comes off the base on the slide for a half, like not even a half second, and he gets called out. I just don't like that, because any time in the past, that guy's been safe. He's been called safe and nobody cared. Like, there was never a clamoring for, well, we got to get those calls right. No, what we wanted was to get the calls at first base when a guy is clearly a half step at least away from the bag and he gets called safe by the umpire. Those are the calls we want to get corrected. But sliding into second base, beating the throw, beating the tag, coming off the base for like literally a split second, but the glove is still on you, and then being called out for it. It's not like sliding past the base where you go in with too much speed and you can't stop yourself and you go blow right through the bag. Well, yeah, okay, in that case, you should be out. But when you stay in the vicinity of the bag, like, I just never really liked the replay was getting used there. And I tweeted about that, and Cubs fans just jumped down my throat. Just all over me for that. And I was like, look, hey, I know he was technically out. I just don't like that, because in the past, watching a game, nobody was ever upset when that guy was called safe. Nobody, ever, 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 ever. They just accepted it and moved on. It wasn't like one of those things you saw, you watched it happen and you said, they got to fix this. Baseball has to do something about this. It didn't make you angry. It didn't make your blood boil. You didn't spend two innings stewing over it. You just accepted it as part of the game and it was fine. Cubs were on the opposite side of that last night. And there were a lot of people. I hate the way this is called. I hate this. I told you guys. I tried telling you 3 years ago. You didn't listen to me. I don't think that's the spirit of replay. Now, in the end, didn't really matter. Cubs still won the game. But I hated that Suzuki got called out on that play when he probably, I think, may have beaten the throw. I think, but there was one angle where it looked like the glove may have gotten the side of his right shoe, the outer side of his right shoe, as he slid in right before he got to the base, maybe. But he very well could have been safe, too. At any rate, I don't need that. I don't need replay used for that. I need it for more egregious calls. I like replay. I like the fact MLB gets it right. But some of those just excruciatingly minute detail, like very small differences, I don't know if I need replay for that. I was okay without it. But that's what baseball is now. 312-644-6767 is the phone number. Maybe you disagree with me. You can let me know. I'm Chris Ranji on Score Overnights. Score Overnights. I'm Chris Ranji. Good evening to you. Ah, good morning. It's still evening to some of us, those of us who have not been to bed yet. Good morning to you. We head toward the Mully and Haw show at 5 o'clock on 670. Brad Biggs, Lisa Byington, and Mike Florio are on the show coming up today. They'll talk Bears draft, NFL draft, as well, because that is coming up. It starts late next week, so we're about a week and a half away from the NFL draft and pick number 39. Aren't you excited? 312-644-6767 is the phone number here on the Score as we visit with Tom, I believe. Tom is joining us in Hoffman Estates. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning, Chris. How are you doing?
I feel like a million. How are you?
I'm doing great. I want to make a few comments. You made a couple good points. You were saying maybe Keegan Thompson should be maybe promoted to a possible starting pitcher. I hate to say this. I kind of disagree. I think leave him right where he's at. He's not doing anything wrong. We're getting good starting pitching as a whole. And with Robertson behind him, we're pretty tough at the back end.
Yeah, I mean, you don't need him at the back end, and that's not what I'm advocating. I don't want him to close games out. What I'm talking about is getting more innings out of him. And
all right, well, here, let's really look at a dream world situation. Let's say that we could be lights out from the 6th, 7th, 8th, and 9th inning. And we always got the lead. Keegan Thompson comes into games when we got the lead. And he holds the lead. Those are games you got to win. That's the way I feel, Chris. You know, well, we're getting good starting pitching.
Sure, for now. And I think that's the point, is that what if it starts to slide a bit and you have somebody in multiple innings per start or per appearance who's able to do what he's doing? Isn't it more valuable if he can get you through instead of 3 2/3 or 3 1/3 or 2 2/3 of an inning of baseball? Isn't it more valuable if he can get you through 6 or maybe 6 2/3 or 7 every 5 days? That might be more valuable to them. I'm not sure, because you certainly can't.
Well, to you, when you look at it that way, to me, there's only two ways to look at it. One, you got the perfect guest on today. I believe he's on at 12:01 where Ross is on. I mean,
he's on at noon. Yeah, he's on at noon with Lawrence.
Right. He uses this guy perfectly. I mean, and he brings him in against, you know, teams that were hitting good. You know, he got suspended because McCutcheon was hot in that series. And that was his only flaw. Is that really his fault? The one pitch got away? You know. Now, he's been a very good surprise for the Chicago Cubs this year. And I tell you what, with Robertson behind him, he looks healthy. You know, he learned from Rivera, that cutter. The Cubs got a lot to look forward to.
Tom, I appreciate the call. I mean, this is certainly a good start for them. You can't argue against that. What we're saying here, though, is obviously if all of these starters, you know, Stroman and Steele and Smiley, if they're all effective, and Hendricks had that one start that was, you know, a struggle, and Stroman, kind of the same deal, and Mark Leiter, yeah, obviously, same deal. If they start pitching really well, all five of them, and that is your rotation for a while, if they're all effective, then of course you're not going to make a move. Of course you're not going to take anybody out of it, because that means you have the benefit of having five pretty good starters, and then this piece in the bullpen you can use for multiple innings every appearance, and you kind of throw him out there, and maybe he can piggyback starting with somebody else. Then, yeah, that's great. You can totally do that. What I think we're saying, though, is that's an unrealistic thing. That's probably not going to happen. It is more likely that one of the back end starters they're using right now isn't very good as the season gets going. And if that's the case, if your fourth or fifth guy isn't effective for you, and then you have this Keegan Thompson fella doing what he's doing with these three innings, three and a third, three and two thirds, and you can stretch him out from there and get him to the point where he can pitch five or six innings from you or for you, then he's more valuable going into the rotation. Now, that doesn't mean he'll continue to do well, but it would be in the Cubs' best interests if the scenario that I'm laying out begins to play out and they move him into the rotation because he can affect more innings for them. And that gives them a better chance to win. The more innings an effective pitcher can touch, the better chance you have to win more regularly. And I think that's what we're talking about here. Now, obviously some things have to happen in order. One of them is he has to continue to pitch the way he is. And the other thing is one of those back-end starters has to really start to have trouble, like serious trouble every start, and it's clear they probably should move on or try something different. And I would say that's more likely than it is not. But in reality, what they need to do is just keep an eye on Keegan, see what he does, see how he continues to progress. He's not going to be a zero ERA guy. He'll give up runs. It's inevitable. But it'll be interesting to see what kind of adjustment they make if the guys in the rotation tell them that they need to. And I don't mean like go to them and say, hey, you need to take me out of the rotation. I mean their performance sends a message that they have to adjust. And if they do, they might have a really good option there in Thompson. Maybe. And maybe his next few outings he gets rocked. I mean, that could happen too. Hopefully not. Hopefully he can continue to be this good. I mean, it's been impressive so far. The number is 312-644-6767 if you would like to text us. This from a 312. Dude, you're holding a cat hostage. I know it's a bit, but it's not funny, and it's not clever. That's from a 312. I could not disagree more with that. First of all, I don't have Dave the Cat in my possession. I'm not holding him hostage at the moment. He is free to move about the cabin. He can do whatever he wants. But if I did give him up for adoption without Mark Grody's permission, oh, that would be hysterically funny. And it could not be more clever. So I totally disagree. But I do thank you. From a 630, it sounds like Grody is being negatively influenced by the evil daytime crew. It's very disappointing. You know what? I totally agree, 630. I wish that Grody were acting better now than he was, than he is. It's really hard to see somebody you care about become the kind of person he has been since being named a Hall of Famer at the Illinois State University Broadcast Hall of Fame, of which I am already a member and have been for several years. 312-644-6767. That's how you can reach us. Text or call. I think we're going to have time to hear from David Ross, and we're going to have time to hear from Ian Happ, who was on the station yesterday. Cubs win 4-2 over the Tampa Bay Rays. The White Sox and Guardians postponed. No game last night. It will be a split doubleheader in the middle of July. I'm Chris Ranji on Score Overnights.
And the pitch. Swing and a miss, a no-hitter. Jake Arrieta has just pitched a no-hitter at Dodger Stadium. A curveball got Utley swinging, and Arrieta being mobbed by his teammates. Cubs win 2-0.
That's Pat Hughes with a call. Jake Arrieta in 2016 with a no-hitter for the Cubs. And the reason we bring that to you is Jake Arrieta, after 12 seasons in Major League Baseball, said today on Pardon My Take podcast by Barstool that he is finished. He's done playing. He is going to retire. He hasn't signed the papers, he says in a quote, but I'm done. It is time for me to step away from the game, is what he said on that podcast. And in doing so, a long, pretty good career, though it did not end well, and he was not effective when he spent time with the Cubs and with the Padres in the end. A 5-14 record, a 7.39 ERA. That's not very good. What is good is what he did for that time for the Cubs around the World Series and around those playoff years just not too long ago. I mean, gosh, actually, if you think about it, 2016 is already 6 years ago. You know, 7 years ago, going back to the prior season when it was obvious they were about to be really good. It was obvious the Cubs were moving in the right direction and very, very close to being an excellent team. And then it was the following year, you know what happened. But he was such a huge part of that. And you knew it was coming, but it's always different when it's said out loud. Because then it starts to make you reflect on what he meant to the organization, what he did, what he brought to the city. And he was part of something amazingly special for the city of Chicago. And Arrieta has decided that he's not going to do it anymore. And you know what? You get to a point as a player where you know it just isn't going to happen anymore, and you accept it. And I'm sure it's difficult to accept for a lot of guys. I'm sure it takes a long time for some players to totally remove themselves from the game and be okay with it, be at ease. It's got to be difficult. You know, you do something your entire life, you're really good at it for a very long time, and you were spectacular at it for one season. And he was awesome in 2015, the Cy Young, obviously. And to have that all happen, and then to have him at his best, at his absolute best, at a time your organization needed it the most, just an awesome thing to happen for the Cubs and for Chicago. And so Arrieta has decided that he is no longer going to play. And I would think that there's a lot of him that is at peace with that. But he can look back at a career that was fruitful. It was a very good career for him. Maybe not as gainful as he wanted it to be in terms of salary, in terms of money, but he still did okay. And he ended up accomplishing something, a few somethings that were very, very big. Number one, and most importantly, winning a World Series and bringing a World Series to a city that hadn't seen it in over a century. Ian Happ, Cubs player, you know him. He was on The Score earlier today with Dan Bernstein.
Are you like settled in? I think it's weird. Like you have the homestand and then you hit the road. I mean, I just wonder how many guys, because of the strange rushed ramp up to the season, do you guys have their living arrangements and like the actual like human being stuff taken care of, or is that still in flux?
I'm pretty settled. I think, you know, it's a few years into my Chicago experience, so it's a little bit easier for me. I'm waiting on one thing, a car parking pass. That's a toughie. But besides that, I'm pretty settled. But there's a lot of guys who aren't. A lot of guys that I've talked to who, like, they have a middle-of-the-month move-in date for their apartment, or they're in the hotel for the first series, and they're just getting to move into a house or a condo or an apartment right now. So A lot of guys in flux, but kind of by the end of April is usually when guys are all settled in.
Yeah, that's why I ask, because I know that sometimes that fans don't even think about that. Like, they don't even consider that somebody is sleeping in someone's guest room or uncomfortable in a hotel and waking up and not knowing if they're at home or on the road. And it throws a wrench into some stuff, which is, I imagine it's especially difficult for somebody playing in this country for the first time. And yet, your best friend in the world, Seiya Suzuki, is second in MLB in barrel percentage to Giancarlo Stanton at the moment.
Yeah, he's been pretty incredible, huh? It's been just ridiculous to watch. I think, like I said last week, the at-bats in general where he's just not chasing, super disciplined. Even there was a punch out yesterday, one of backdoor slider out of the zone 3-2 that he struck out on, that was a ball. Like, he just doesn't swing the bat out of the zone, and then when it's in the zone, he's been super, super productive. So it's just been really incredible to watch.
How has the number of balls in play and the number of singles that are being hit, and really the, frankly, high on base percentage, these numbers will modulate. We know that everything will mm-hmm. regress a bit, but that's yeah. got to keep the vibe in the dugout very, very different than strikeout, walk, homer, strikeout, homer kind of thing.
Yeah, it's definitely different. I think the, you know, and that was a good Colorado pitching staff we just saw, and to put a bunch of balls in play, really get a lot of guys on base and have a lot of action. And we've been talking about it. I think there's some more damage in there, I think, just from different guys, including myself, who hasn't hit a lot of extra base hits or a lot of balls to produce some runs. So I think we keep doing that, keep getting guys on base. You know, there's some damage to get to in parts of the lineup to really put some crooked numbers on the board.
When Suzuki is doing what he's doing now, people nationally are beginning to take notice. And I'm wondering when we're going to see a more of a media crush. Because if this – give this another couple weeks and a little bit more national attention – there's going to be a lot more around the team where it didn't matter the last couple of years because of COVID now. I imagine getting used to having some of that relaxed and actual more media interaction is changing the experience a little bit.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. There's definitely, like, opening weekend, opening day, there was a lot of people around. Seiya has, there is some Japanese media that is around all the time, which, you know, he's doing both a kind of a domestic interview session and then having to do Japanese media as well, which is a lot for him, a lot for anybody. But yeah, I think that's just something that comes with it. I think as, you know, if there becomes a larger presence, there'll be some acclimation, but part of the gig.
It's maybe a weird question considering that you were just in Colorado, but is there any talk among hitters about the way the ball is flying this year or lack thereof?
I haven't heard anything yet. I mean, I think that Colorado is a tough place to tell, and the wind was blowing in there, which is also kind of a strange thing where you have the ball hanging in the air for a long time, but some wind knocking it down for a couple of those games, which is an interesting phenomenon. But no, have you heard anything?
Yeah, well,
I would be interested.
I have.
What the stats say?
Indeed, I have. And there is a statistician named Jeremy Frank who reports that there were 14 MLB games played yesterday that included a total of just 15 home runs, with a lot of balls that seemed like home runs that didn't go anywhere. I know we saw it with Tim Anderson here on the White Sox. He thought he hit one 10 rows up that was caught at the wall. But that is the fewest of any day with at least that number of games since September 24th of 2014, and the fewest in an April day with that many games since 1993. So just a data point. It may be an anomaly, but just something to keep in mind that there some of the people who track this stuff are starting to see that maybe whatever ball we're using is on the less bouncy or less slippery side.
Very interesting. Yeah, I did. I hit one at home against the Brewers with the wind blown out that I thought should have went. It did go to the deepest part of the park at Wrigley and didn't get out. But I had one in Colorado that I thought I got a little bit better than I did. Didn't think it was going to be a homer, but the exit velo was a little bit lower than I expected. But I can't say that, like, I've absolutely clicked one and been shocked about where it landed.
Okay. Just something to keep an eye on that I think it's going to be, you know, obviously it's, we watch it closely because there's enough outcomes of bat to ball that you get a decent, useful amount of information earlier on in the season than you do some other things. I have to say the throw that Nico Hoerner made the other day from the hole, that jump throw, that was a, ooh, hey, take a look at that kind of thing. Because I know he's bigger and stronger, but arm strength can be a funny thing that way. But to see him make that, if in fact his arm is indeed stronger, that's a big deal for him as a full-time shortstop and his establishment as a full-time major league shortstop. Because I know that everybody in the park took notice, but with that video going around on social media, I hope that others are aware that looks real.
Well, he's an incredible athlete. He's always been an incredible athlete. And I think I have two things. One, in 2020, when we were living together, he was working a lot on his arm stroke. Like, that was something he was very conscious of, like how to really pattern his arm the right way to get as much carry on the ball as he could. And we haven't seen him play shortstop much. So for us to be able to like watch him play a full season at shortstop, to watch the athleticism play out, he's done a ton of learning in his first couple of years about like when to use the ground on a ball in the hole for, you know, that long hop to the first baseman, you know, how to get his feet under him in some different plays. Like, he's made some incredible plays, but he's also just been really consistent with positioning, with moving around, with being in the right spots and kind of learning different hitters as he goes about being a shortstop at this level.
Your knee and recovering elbow, are we 100%?
Yeah. I mean, there's good days and bad days, but I think that's part of the process, coming back and getting your body right for 162. But for the most part, feeling really good, going through the process of being out there every day. Colorado's a tough one on the body, I think, for everybody, especially a four-game set. The recovery in Colorado is tough with the thin air and altitude and for a number of reasons, hydration and for outfielders that getting out there, it feels like an extra 100 feet every half inning in and out. That's why, you know, we all had at least one kind of off day there, trying to keep everybody in the right spot, especially after that short spring. But happy to be back home and at Wrigley.
Lastly, we're trying to figure out now, early returns on the effect of the collective bargaining agreement. And there's a couple things that I think are on the positive side. We'll see if these sustain. Average salary is up. And I know mean versus median can be misleading because of huge, huge money on the top and low money on the bottom. But I'll take it that it's a good sign when it's, I think, up 4%. Maybe they think it could be as much as 6%. The other thing is we are seeing more teams bringing up star rookies early and not holding them down and trying for that extra year because it's been, they have been, not sufficiently, but at least to some extent, incentivized to bring them up. Are these early wins for the players?
Yeah, I think the average salary part is great. I think that probably has a lot to do with the league minimum being pushed up. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we'll see over the next couple of years if that stagnates or continues to rise, and then kind of like percentage of players that are on minimum salary, how that kind of fluctuates, because we know that was a big part where, you know, a lot of the percentage of players was league minimum. But as far as young guys, yeah, I've noticed that too. I think that there is an incentive to bring guys up, and then there's also the part that says, if you bring somebody up in mid-May and you only get not a full year of service, called 150 days or 140 days of service out of a guy, but he wins Rookie of the Year, you have to give him a full year anyway. So I think that there is that. You know, if you have a guy that's going to be in contention for Rookie of the Year, you think he can be in contention for his Rookie of the Year, you'd rather him start with the club and help the entire year if that's there's no benefit to you on the manipulation side. So I think it's great. I think it's great to see the young guys out there playing, getting that experience. You know, we'll see how it plays out, but hopefully there is a real incentive for teams to do that more often.
Let's get the latest that we need to know with Connect Roasters and everything else that's going on. And apparently we need to learn how to say dinger dollars in Japanese.
Yeah, for sure. Super excited about, Home Run Club, and we're back to Wrigley. So any of the homers hit while we're here, dinger dollars to everybody, end of the month, they'll get them. The new obvious store is on Grace and Clark, and all the Connect products sold out in that first homestand. So we restocked. There's cold brew there. There's coffee. There's beans. There's mugs. We're excited for everybody to go check that store out, check the obvious stuff out, and get some Connect Roasters. So the Home Run Club is online. You guys can check that out, and we're excited about it.
Good stuff. We'll talk again next week, Ian. Thank you.
Thanks so much.
That is Ian Happ on The Score yesterday with Bernstein. I'm Chris Ranji on Score Overnights. The Cubs go on to win last night at Wrigley Field 4-2. They beat Tampa Bay. Kyle Hendricks pitching into the fifth inning in the game. He goes 4 1/3, gives up 2 runs, 6 strikeouts for him. Meanwhile, Keegan Thompson, 3 2/3, no runs, punches out 5, continues to be really effective for the Cubs. David Robertson closed it out. Home runs from Patrick Wisdom, 420 feet. He just absolutely crushed a baseball that, without the wind, probably would have made it onto Waveland. And then Frank Schwindel, also with a home run. That happened in the eighth inning, a 4-2 win. 6-4 are the Cubs, or 6-4 are the Cubs in this early season. The White Sox ended up having the night off. Their game in Cleveland was postponed. It is going to be a doubleheader in July. The Mully and Haw Show is coming up on The Score. Brad Biggs, Lisa Byington, and Mike Florio are the guests this morning on that program. And also, don't forget, David Ross, manager of the Cubs, his first appearance on The Score for the season. He is going to be visiting with Lawrence Holmes at noon today. That is all coming up. We'll tell you what's been happening around the world in sports. There's been some stuff. There's some interesting stuff, actually, that took place last night. We'll tell you about those things when we come back. I'm Chris Ranji. Final hour coming up on Score Overnights.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. Audacy. Download it today.